Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem by Ram Goldar, and today Masechet Shavuos Daf Mem of the sixth Perek Shavuos HaDayanim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav Nachman said that although there's no Shavuot D'Oraisa for someone who completely denies a debt, he must swear a Shavuos Heses, which is Midrabban. The Gemara seeks a nafka mina between a Shavuot D'Oraisa and a Shavuot D'Rabban, since he must swear regardless. It first explains Mepach Shavuot. If the Nitba can reverse the Shavuot, meaning instead of swearing to be exempt, demand that the Toveya swear to collect. He cannot do so for a Shavuot D'Oraisa, but he can reverse a Shavuot D'Rabban. According to Marbar Ravashi, that one can even reverse a Shavuot D'Oraisa, a new answer is required. The Gemara says the difference is Mechas L'Nichse, descend to his property to collect it. Beis Din forcibly collects property of one who refuses to swear a Shavuot D'Oraisa, but not for a Shavuot D'Rabban. According to Rabbi Yossi, who holds we forcibly collect property even for rabbinical obligations, the Gemara instead answers that the difference is about Shekenegdo Chashud al Shavuot, where his opponent, the Nitva, is suspect about swearing falsely. For a Shavuot D'Oraisa, we would reverse the Shavuot to the Toveya to swear and collect, but not for a Shavuot D'Rabban. Point number two, Ravasi said, Amalves Chavero Be'edim, if one lends his friend in front of Edim, Tzarech Leparo Be'edim, the borrower must repay him in front of Edim and is otherwise not believed to say he repaid. Shmuel disagreed because the borrower can say, Pratichu bifnei poni uponi, b'halkul hema midina sayam. I repaid you in front of poni and poni, and they went overseas and can't testify. The Mishnah teaches that if a lender claimed a loan and the borrower admitted to it before Edim, he still believed later to say he repaid. Ravasi explains that payment before Edim is only required when the loan itself was made in the presence of witnesses because the lender demonstrated he did not trust him. But when he originally lent him money without Edim and later claimed it from him before Edim, the payment can still be made without Edim. In another version, Ravasi agreed that even if one lends money with Edim, the borrower is believed to say he repaid without Edim. However, if he said, Al tifra'eni el be'edim, do not repay me except with Edim, then he must pay in front of Edim. Shmuel holds, the borrower can still say, I paid you in front of poni and poni, and they went overseas. And point number three, a man once demanded repayment of 100 ziz loan, and the nitba replied, Lohiyu dvari ma'olam, it never happened, meaning I never borrowed from you. Edim came forward and testified that he did borrow the money, but he had already repaid it. Abai commented that there seems to be no way to obligate the Nitba, for although the Edim testified that he borrowed the money, they also testified that he repaid it, and there's no remaining debt. However, Rava argued, Ko omer lo levisi, ko omer lo parati dami. Anyone who says, I have not borrowed, is like one who says, I have not repaid. Since according to his claim, he never borrowed, he never would have paid. Therefore, although Edim testified that he paid, he must still pay based on his personal admission, as Rashi explains, because Hudas Baldin Kamei Edim. A litigant's admission is like 100 witnesses testifying. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Rav Nachman said that although there's no Shavuot D'Oraisa for someone who completely denies a debt, he must swear a Shavuot Heses, which is Midrabban. The Gemara seeks a nafkamina between a Shavuot D'Oraisa and a Shavuot D'Rabban, since he must swear regardless. It first explains Mepach Shavuot. If the Nitba can reverse the Shavuot, meaning instead of swearing to be exempt, demand that the Toveya swear to collect. He cannot do so for a Shavuot D'Oraisa, but he can reverse a Shavuot D'Rabban. According to Marbar Ravashi, that one can even reverse a Shavuot D'Oraisa, a new answer is required. The Gemara says the difference is Mechas L'Nichse, descend to his property to collect it. Beis Din forcibly collects property of one who refuses to swear a Shavuot D'Oraisa, but not for a Shavuot D'Rabban. According to Rabbi Yossi, who holds we forcibly collect property even for rabbinical obligations, the Gemara instead answers that the difference is about Shekenegdo Chashud al Shavuot, where his opponent, the Nitva, is suspect about swearing falsely. For a Shavuot D'Oraisa, we would reverse the Shavuot to the Toveya to swear and collect, but not for a Shavuot D'Rabban. Point number two, Ravasi said, Amalves Chavero Be'edim, if one lends his friend in front of Edim, Tzarech Leparo Be'edim, the borrower must repay him in front of Edim and is otherwise not believed to say he repaid. Shmuel disagreed because the borrower can say, Pratichu bifnei poni uponi, b'halkul hema midina sayam. I repaid you in front of poni and poni, and they went overseas and can't testify. The Mishnah teaches that if a lender claimed a loan and the borrower admitted to it before Edim, he still believed later to say he repaid. Ravasi explains that payment before Edim is only required when the loan itself was made in the presence of witnesses because the lender demonstrated he did not trust him. But when he originally lent him money without Edim and later claimed it from him before Edim, the payment can still be made without Edim. In another version, Ravasi agreed that even if one lends money with Edim, the borrower is believed to say he repaid without Edim. However, if he said, Al tifra'eni el be'edim, do not repay me except with Edim, then he must pay in front of Edim. Shmuel holds, the borrower can still say, I paid you in front of poni and poni, and they went overseas. And point number three, a man wants to demand a repayment of 100 ziz loan. And the nitba replied, it never happened, meaning I never borrowed from you. Adim came forward and testified that he did borrow the money, but had already repaid it. Abai commented that there seems to be no way to obligate the nitba, for although the Adim testified that he borrowed the money, they also testified that he repaid it, and there's no remaining debt. However, Rava argued, anyone who says I have not borrowed is like one who says I have not repaid. Since according to his claim, he never borrowed, he never would have paid. Therefore, although Adim testified that he paid, he must still pay based on his personal admission, as Rashi explains, because Hudas Baal Din Kameh Adim. A litigant's admission is like 100 witnesses testifying. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Mem off, and our standard Siman is a grandma. So here goes. The grandma who was incensed when her neighbor denied borrowing money to buy knitting needles and demanded that she should swear, was advised by one grandson that next time she should lend in front of the two Adim, so the borrower must repay in front of Adim, and taped a reminder note on a rocking chair that anyone who says, I have not borrowed, is like one who says, I have not repaid. Once again, slow motion. The grandma, that must be Siman Daf Mem Aleph. The grandma who was incensed when her neighbor denied borrowing money to buy knitting needles and demanded that she should swear, which reminds us, Rav Nachman said that although there's no shvuah d'oraisa for someone who completely denies a debt, he must swear a shvuah hesis, which is midrabbanan. The Gemara seeks a nafkamina between a shvuah d'oraisa and a shvuah d'rabbanan, since he must swear regardless. It first explains mepach shvuah. If the nitva can reverse the shvuah, meaning instead of swearing to be exempt, demand that the toveah swear to collect. He cannot do so for a shvuah d'oraisa, but he can reverse a shvuah d'rabbanan. So the grandma who's incensed when her neighbor denied borrowing money to buy knitting needles and demanded that she should swear, was advised by one grandson that next time she should lend in front of two Adim, so the borrower must repay in front of Adim. Which reminds us, Rabasi said, Hamalbes chavero be'adim, if one lends his friend in front of Adim, sarach lefaro be'adim, the borrower must repay him in front of Adim and is otherwise not believed to say he repaid. Shmuel disagreed because the borrower can say, Pratich bifnei poni uponi b'halchul hemo minin sayam. I repaid you in front of poni and poni, and they went overseas and can't testify. So the grandma who was incensed when her neighbor denied borrowing money to buy knitting needles and demanded that she should swear, was advised by one grandson that next time she should lend in front of two Adim, so the borrower must repay in front of Adim, and taped a reminder note on her rocking chair that anyone who says, I have not borrowed, is like one who says, I have not repaid. Which reminds us, a man once demanded repayment of 100 ziz loan, and the nitba replied, it never happened, meaning I never borrowed from you. Witnesses came forward and testified that he did borrow the money, but had already repaid it. Rava argued, anyone who says, I have not borrowed, is like one who says, I have not repaid. Since according to his claim, he never borrowed, he would never have paid. Therefore, although Adim testified that he paid, he must still pay based on his personal admission, as Rashi explains, because Hudas Baal Din Kameh Adim. A litigant's admission is like 100 witnesses testifying. So once again, the grandma who was incensed when her neighbor denied borrowing money to buy knitting needles and demanded that she should swear, was advised by one grandson that next time she should lend in front of two Adim, so the borrower must repay in front of Adim, and taped a reminder note on her rocking chair that anyone who says, I have not borrowed, is like one who says, I have not repaid. All right, so now it's time for four blah bach hazara. Daf Lamed Zayin, so the simmer Daf Lamed Zayin is laser tag. So here goes. When the boy lied when swearing about not having the other team's laser tag guns, laser tag, that must be on Daf Lamed Zayin. When the boy lied when swearing about not having the other team's laser tag guns deposited by him after being warned by Adim, making him chayev to bring a carbon, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses if Shua Sbikadim with Hasra is liable to a carbon, Malkus, or both. So when the boy lied when swearing about not having the other team's laser tag guns deposited by him after being warned by Adim, making him chayev to bring a carbon, his teammate shot back and said that since there are Adim, he is patur, which reminds us, Rabbi held that Shuas Pikadon, where Adim were present, is exempt from a carbon. So when the boy lied when swearing about not having the other team's laser tag guns deposited by him after being warned by Adim, making him chayev to bring a carbon, his teammate shot back and said that since there are Adim, he is patur. Just like the kids who denied knowing who owned the laser tag arena and got off because it was about Karka, which reminds Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Elazar argue about Adim, who denied knowing testimony about the ownership of land. Rabbi Yochanan holds their putter like he holds that a Shua Spikadon about Shibud Karkos is putter. Daf Lamed Ches. So the simmer Daf Lamed Ches is a davar lach, a liquid, and we use chicken soup for the simmer. So here goes. When the man cooking chicken soup, that must be on Dav Lamed Ches, a Davro Lach. When the man cooking chicken soup swore to those claiming rights to the soup that he has nothing, lo acha, b'lo acha, b'lo acha, which reminds us, the Gemara brings some machlokes about swearing against multiple claims, such as lo acha, b'lo acha, b'lo acha. So when the man cooking chicken soup swore to those claiming rights to the soup that he has nothing, lo acha, b'lo acha, b'lo acha, and his partner made a shvua that the kenedoach he made from a pruta worth of wheat spelt in barley were his own, and not the claimants, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if one demanded the wheat and barley and spelt that what another had in his possession, and the defendant swore, she'en l'cha b'yadi klum, that you have nothing in my possession, there's only a single carbon. If he swore, she'en l'cha b'yadi chitin usa'orin v'kusmin, that you do not have wheat, and not barley, and not spelt in my possession, they obligate separate carbonas. Rav Yochanan says, prutum akum it's the refus. A pruta's worth of value can be combined from all the grains for the minimum shear to obligate a carbon. So when the man cooking chicken soup swore to those claiming rights of the soup that he is nothing, lo acha, b'lo acha, b'lo acha, and his partner made a shua that the kenedoach he made from a pruta worth of wheat spelt in barley were his own and not the claimants, they together sent a thermos of soup to basin for the fellow making a shua as a dayanim when he was moda. B'miksas, which reminds us, the sixth parak primarily discusses the shvua of modu b'miksas, one who admits the part of a claim. It begins, shvuas ha-deyonim, the oath of judges for modu b'miksas, is only imposed when hatanish te-kesev ho-da b'shev ha-pruta. The claim is for at least two silver maz, and the admission for is at least a pruta. Furthermore, im ena ho-da mimin ha-tayna pater, if the admission is not about the same item as the claim, he is pater from swearing. Daf Lamed Tes, so the simon for Daf Lamed Tes is a letter, and we often use a mailman in the simon. So here goes. The mailman who experienced the ground shaking when he delivered the letter. Mailman, a letter? That must be on Daf Lamed Tes. The mailman who experienced the ground shaking when he delivered the letter stating, Osisa Shema Shema El Kecho Ashav, which reminds us, a brisa teaches that Basin warns the defendant about the severity of swearing falsely. They say, Have Yodei Shekolam Kulo Nizdaza, you must know that the entire world trembled when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said at Har Sinai, Osisa Shema Shema El Kecho Ashav, you shall not take the name of Hashem your God in vain. The Gemara continues with detailing how the punishment for swearing falsely is more severe than all of the averos. So the mailman who experienced the ground shaking when he delivered the letter stating, Osisa Hashem Hashem El Kecho Ashav, was taken aback when he claimed the homeowner owed him two silver maos for the stamps he bought, and the homeowner responded he only owed him a pruta, which reminds us, the more brings machlokas if kfira of shtei kesef is required for moda b'miksas. So the mailman who experienced the ground shaking when he delivered the letter stating, Osisa Hashem Hashem El Kecho Ashav, was taken aback when he claimed the homeowner owed him two silver maos for the stamps he bought, and the homeowner responded he only owed him a pruta, and was relieved when the rabbi next door told the man he was chayv amoda b'miksas shvua, since kesef is compared to kelim. In the pasuk, which reminds us, Rava said that psukim read more precisely according to Shmuel, who does not require a denial of more than a pruta. The pasuk says, "Ki yiten ish al reyu kesef o kelim lishmor." When a man gives his fellow silver or utensils to watch, teaching to compare the two items, ma kelim shnaim af kesef shnaim. Just as kelim, being plural, are at least two, so two silver means a minimum of two silver coins. Also, ma kesef davar chashuv, and just as silver is significant, meaning it's valuable, af kol davar chashuv, so too all other items claimed besides kelim must be significant and have a value of two silver maos. Daf mem, so the simmer daf mem is a pool. So here goes. At the pool, that must be more on daf mem, mayim. At the pool, the lifeguard who made a boy swear that he didn't borrow a toy boat worth a pruta based on the testimony of one witness, which reminds us, a braisa defines the parameters of a rule. Komakum sheshnai mechayvin osu mamon. Wherever two witnesses would obligate the defendant to pay money, eid echod mechayvo shvua, one witness obligates him to make a shvua to deny the testimony. Since two witnesses can obligate a payment as little as a pruta, a single witness obligates swearing about the same amount. So at the pool, the lifeguard who made a boy swear that he didn't borrow a toy boat worth a pruta based on the testimony of one witness, while a boy splashing in the water who admitted to owing his friend a beach ball but denied borrowing his goggles also had to swear, which reminds us the Mishnah taught that a nitba does not swear if he makes a partial admission of a different item from the one claimed. For example, if the tovea demanded a payment of wheat and the nitba admitted to owing him some barley, Rav Gamliel disagreed. Shmuel said, Tano chitim sa'orin, if he claimed against him wheat and barley, and the nitba admitted to him one of them, he is obligated to swear. So at the pool, the lifeguard who made a boy swear that he didn't borrow a toy boat worth of pruta, based on the testimony of one witness, while a boy splashing in the water who admitted to owing his friend a beach ball but denied borrowing his goggles also had to swear, told the kid on the diving board to take a shvuas hesis after denying the claim he popped his friend's inflatable raft, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that one who completely denies a claim is not obligated to swear. Rav Nachman says, Umashmin oso shvuas hesis, but they do have him swear a hesis oath. He explains, Chazoka in adam toveya olim ken yesh lo halav. There's a presumption that a person does not demand payment unless he actually has a legitimate claim against him, so the nipah should swear to contradict him. The Gemara objects that on the contrary, Chazoka in adam meis panav bifnei bal chovo. There's a presumption that a person is not so brazen as to falsely deny his debt in his creditor's presence. His denial indicates he's telling the truth and he should not have to swear. The Gemara answers, Ishtamutihu dekemishtamitle. It is possible he's trying to temporarily evade his balchov until he has the money to repay him, and this is not a brazen denial. Alright, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which daf do you discuss swearing about karka regarding shvuas bikadon or shvuas ha'edus? That's on daf Lamed Zayin. Good. Number 2. Which daf do you call omer lo levisi ka omer lo parati dami? Anyone who says, I have not borrowed, is like one who says, I have not repaid. That's on daf Mem Aleph. Good. Number 3. Which daf do you discuss if shvuas bikadon with hasra is liable to a karban, malchus, or both? Daf Lamed Zayin. Good. Number 4. Which daf do you discuss differences between a shvuah deraisa and a shvuah derabanan, one being that a nitva can reverse the shvuah and make the toveya swear to collect? That's on daf Mem Aleph. Good. Number 5. Which daf do you learn a shvuah obligated by an eid echad only requires a claim of a pruta? That's on daf Mem. Good. Number 6. Which daf do you discuss ruling on monetary or capital cases based on circumstantial evidence and the incident with Shem ben Shetach who saw a murderer emerge from a ruin? That's on daf Lamed Daled. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we learn that according to Rav Asi, if one lends in front of Edim, the borrower must repay him in front of Edim? That's on daf Mem Aleph. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we learn that if one is mashpia Edim b'shamayim v'ba'aretz, by heaven and earth, they are butter? That's on daf Lamed Hey. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we learn gedol haknasas orchim yoser makabalitz b'nei shechina? That's on daf Lamed Hey. Good. Number 10. Which daf do the comparison of kesef and kalim regarding moda b'mikzas? That's on daf Lamed Tes. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.